Today's first reading is drawn from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 through 20. Paul is acknowledged to be the author of this first letter to the Corinthian church. He wrote the letter in part to address a number of problems that had developed within that church. In this particular passage, Paul is dealing with the problem of sexual immorality. Beginning in verse 12, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Should I therefore take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that whoever is united with a prostitute becomes one body with her? For it is said, the two shall be one flesh. But anyone united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Shun fornication. Every sin that a person commits is outside the body, but the fornicator sins against the body itself. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, that you are not your own? You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." The word of the Lord. Our second lesson comes from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Although the book of Samuel deals mainly with the reigns of Israel's first two kings, Saul and David, chapters 1 to 3 are devoted to the birth of the prophet Samuel and his calling. Hannah, who later became Samuel's mother, prayed fervently to the Lord that she would bear a son and vowed that he would devote his life to God's service. So it was that we find Samuel serving in the temple with Eli the priest as we begin reading in chapter 3. Starting at verse 1, "Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, 'Samuel, Samuel,' and he said, 'Here I am,' and ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' But he said, 'I did not call. Lie down again.' So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, 'Samuel.' Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' But he said, 'I did not call you, my son. Lie down again.' Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, 'Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel said, 'Speak, for your servant is listening.'" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our gospel lesson comes from John chapter 1, verses 43 through 51. "The next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, 'Follow me.' Now Philip was from the Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Philip, Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, 'We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Nazareth, son of Joseph from Nazareth.' Nathanael said to him, 'Can anything good come out of Nazareth?' Philip said to him, 'Come and see.' When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, 'Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit.' Nathanael asked him, 'Where did you get to know me?' Jesus answered, I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you. Nathanael replied, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus answered, Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You'll see greater things than these. And he said to them, Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. The word of the Lord. We have here in this Old Testament reading and the Gospel reading two people answering the call that God gave them. And I find both of them somewhat humorous. Samuel, this young boy being raised with Eli being serving basically as his father, even though he's old enough to be his grandfather and they're not blood related. And Samuel's getting this call, Samuel, in the middle of the night, and he keeps going to Eli, thinking Eli's calling him, and says, yeah, what do you want? And finally, Eli gets it upon himself that, hey, somebody's calling this boy, and it's not me. So he tells him, next time you hear it, say, I'm listening. And that Samuel does, and God speaks to him. And Samuel answers the call. And then there's Nathanael. Yeah, well, first there's Philip. Philip received, here's the call, come and follow. And he immediately jumps in. He's ready to go. And he goes and he finds his friend, Nathanael. And he says, I found it. This is the one the prophets and Moses have spoken about. And it's Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? You know, we know those neighborhoods. We know those cities where we think nothing good can come out of that. And so Nathanael has his prejudices. And then when he actually meets Jesus, Jesus says, well, here's a true Israelite. In him is no deceit. And Nathanael still has this guard up, and he's saying, how do you know who I am? And Jesus answers, before Philip approached you, I saw you sitting under the fig tree. Well, after that, Nathanael's all in. You know, I'm here for you. I know who you are. Kind of strange just because Jesus saw him sitting under a fig tree. But he knew his character. That's kind of what I think is drew him in. God knows our names. God knows our character. We read about that in our call to worship from Psalm 139, how God knows us from the very beginning, even before we are born. But today, we want to be answering the call because we're called to be disciples. And so how do we become disciples? How do we grow in being a disciple? Well, most of you, many of you know that my family, we got a puppy over Christmas. So I have puppy on my mind. And I want to compare discipleship to puppy training. There's some real similarities. Sophie, that's the dog's name, she thinks she's queen of the house. And she is. You know, we're all on top of her, playing with her, loving on her, and they're all excited about her. But that can't continue. She, for her own good, for our good, has to be trained. Otherwise, when she's 60, 70 pounds in a few months, it's going to be a little too much. So the first thing we started was training her with housebreaking her. And it was going pretty good. We had a bell at the door, and she would ring the bell when she needed to go outside. And we were like, yeah. And it was working well. And then this past week, we've discovered three things. Sophie doesn't like the cold. Sophie doesn't like snow. And Sophie doesn't like rain. She quit ringing the bell. She started doing her business inside, not outside. And it made me think, because, you know, we respond to that, oh, Sophie! And I started to think, how does God respond when we continue to sin? Especially if we had those moments when we were doing better, and we thought maybe we had this conquered, and all of a sudden we find ourselves back sinning the same old sins. How does God respond? Well, we believe we'll eventually get Sophie through this. But the ways we're training her are two methods. The first one is through treats. You know, when she does what we want her to do, we give her a treat. And we're teaching her what we want her to do, and we give her treats, and she responds. And for us, in our discipleship, when we find that our faith is working and it's producing results in our lives, we want to continue doing those things. Now, it's hard, or at least I don't know how, to train a dog not to do things with treats. So we have, when we want to correct her when she's doing things wrong, we have a metal water bottle that we put some coins in. And when she starts to do something like bite or jump up or get on the furniture, we shake that thing. And it startles her. It makes a pretty loud noise. It startles her and gets her upset. And she stops doing it. We put that little water container down. She'll stare at it and start barking at it. She doesn't like it. Often in our faith, in our discipleship, it's the difficult times, the hard times, when we really grow. And like the little water bottle, we may not bark, but we complain and we're upset with those things that are happening that we don't like. So we're kind of like Sophie in those regards. Now, we're trying to train Sophie, and we're doing what we've heard called as the seven common commands. Sit, down, stay, come, know, off, and heal. And so we're working on these, trying to get her to do all this, because it'll make life very good for all of us if she learns these things. When it comes to discipleship, though, there are also seven common, I don't want to call them commands, but seven common disciplines that we need. Worship, Bible study, prayer, fellowship. Now I'm losing them. Christian education, or no, that's Bible study. Well, love is certainly one, but that's not one of the seven I have. Stewardship and service and outreach. These are things that we need to be having as part of our lives to be disciples of Jesus. And we need to be working on these things. Now, the other thing about dogs is they were bred, many dogs were bred for a particular purpose. You have your hunting dogs. You know, they're bred to help hunters bring in what what they've caught or help them to find what they're hunting for. You have work dogs, like sheep dogs that corral the sheep in, or sled dogs, ones that pull the sleds. And you have some of the smaller breeds were bred for getting rid of rodents and other pests around the house. And even some were bred just to be lap dogs. Sophie is a lab mix. That means she's kind of a hunting dog. Well, we don't hunt. So that's not going to be her purpose. I hope she's going to follow in the same lines as our previous dog, Hannah. Hannah was the unofficial greeter of people in the parking lot. She would run up to people. And she would never jump up on them, but she'd run up and when she got there, she looked down, waiting to be petted. Hannah helped us meet our neighbors. We have Chris right over here, lives in Share House right behind there. We've become friends because of Hannah. Next door, Sean, I've become friends with him because of Hannah. And I'm hoping that Sophie will follow in that same path of helping us to meet people. My daughter Bethany says, well, Dad, you know, this big old field we have over here, we ought to turn it into a dog park. I have no idea whether we would do that or not. I have no idea what it would take to do that. But if we were to do that, Sophie would be queen of the dog park. But she would help us to meet our neighbors. So just as dogs have a function, we have a function too in the church. God has called us to ministry. And that ministry can be within the church, singing in the choir, the officers that we installed, helping with refreshments after the service. You can go and get refreshments. That was done because people have volunteered and helped. There are all kinds of ways to serve within the church. But it's not just that, because we need to be moving outside the church too and be doing ministry outside the church. Do we see our jobs as ministry? Do we see what we volunteer at as ministry? Things that we spend our time, do we see these things as ministry? Our Corinthian text tells us that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that our whole being belongs to God and it was bought with a great price. And so we need to be doing the totality of our lives need to be in service of the Lord. And that is what we do. We only spend a small percentage of our time in the church. We need to be seeing what we do outside the church as ministry. Now, our session has approved a new mission and vision statement. It has three parts. The first part is who we are as a church, and we looked at that last week. And you can find this statement in your bulletin. Today I want us to look at the mission part, and I want to read that. We are an active church dedicated to spiritual growth by involving all ages in transforming worship, caring relationships, Christian education, and small group activities, drawing strength and inspiration through sharing our faith with one another. We reach outside our walls to openly share the love of Christ with the surrounding community and to help those in need, both locally and worldwide. You can see the things that I've been talking about in here, that we are dedicating ourselves to spiritual growth. And I talked about the seven common disciplines. You can find most of them here in the transforming worship, the caring relationships, Christian education, and small group activity. And then you can also see that because we draw strength and inspiration through these things, through being together, we take it outside the church. And we openly share the love of Christ with our surrounding community. And part of what we do in doing that is helping people who are in need, both locally and worldwide. So discipleship is about finding our calling, finding what we do as Christians. And it begins here in church, because we're not called to be individual Christians, so to speak, that Lone Ranger Christians. We're called to share with one another the Christian life, to encourage and build one another up and nurture one another and equip one another to do service in the world. Let me close with this thought. Without Eli, Samuel may never have heard the call of God. Without Philip, Nathanael may never have met Jesus. We at the church, we help one another discover our call, how God is speaking to us. And then the question becomes, will we listen? And if we hear, will we answer the call? Let's pray. Lord, be with us, that we might hear your voice, that hear you call us by name, and may we answer and to serve you and to be your disciples. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.